brother. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open those up to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you've been with us the last couple weeks, we have been walking through the book of Philippians. And it's been kind of cool because even though I missed a week, Joshua preached last week, I was able from Buffalo, New York to listen in. And I was so thankful for his challenge. And I want to remind you of that. His challenge was to pray for our senior pastor. And I know many of us do that, but it was a good reminder for me to continually pray for him as he's working through what God has in the future as far as sermon series and things that he wants to speak through Brother Randy to us. I was thankful for Brother Josh urging us to do that. The series is called Poured Out, and Josh mentioned through his chapter two, of what that looked like. And my sermon title for today's message is The Real Deal. The Real Deal. And you'll understand where I'm going with that in just a minute. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and have those open up. We're going to begin reading in verse 2. And I'll just kind of warn you, if you look at your notes there, if you have your bulletin, it's on the back of your bulletin there, the notes. We're not skipping around, but I did put like verses together. We're going through the same passage, but some of the verses might be at the beginning, might be at the end. So just be ready to go up and down the chapter with me as we go along. And so we understand that our writer Paul is in chains. He's in prison. We understand that he's trying to write to the believers at the church of Philippi, and he's trying to really give us some practical lessons and doctrine for what is not only going on in his time, but also what we should experience through Christ today. And I hope you see that as we walk through the text today as well. So Philippians 2, it says this, be prepared, he comes out pretty strong in this. He says in verse 2, watch out for those dogs. Man, Paul, really? Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Verse 18, and skip down a little bit or look at your notes there. For as I have often told you before, and I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I want you to underline that if you have your Bibles in front of you or iPads. Cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, God. I ask that through the reading of your word that you would be glorified. That maybe today, as the word is spoken, that one heart, maybe today that was hardened, would be opened. Or maybe one that had become dormant would become back on fire for you, God. And maybe something that is said through your word would touch the believer today. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So the first words that we read in this portion of the text is dogs, evildoers. And I want to put this in kind of perspective of Paul's day. Many of us, when we read that, we're thinking that anyone that's ever sinned in their life, or maybe that was me at one point, maybe Paul's calling me a dog at one point. But really what he's speaking to are this people group and really these religious leaders who have begun to preach a gospel that isn't the gospel at all. And what they've done is they've gotten stuck in what they used to do, and they've completely like thrown out what Christ has begun to do. So let me explain what he's talking about here. So these men are preaching the law of Moses, right? The law that was, but they're forgetting the fulfillment of the law, right? So their motive maybe isn't all bad, but they're forgetting the most important part of what you and I meet here today for. Many of us, the reason we come to church, right, is because we believe in Christ Jesus. The reason this church building stands here, and I'm so thankful that Bethany Church stands on the truth that is the gospel, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But these early church leaders were struggling through it. It just happened. It was not that far off from where they were, and they're struggling through it. That's not what I saw Jesus coming like. You see my point? That's not quite how I saw him dying. That's not quite how I thought it was going to be way bigger than that. And so they're struggling through those things. And so Paul is writing to an early church and saying, hey, watch out. And really the term dogs was actually used against a lot of the early believers of that day. And so Paul's using it in a kind of a derogatory way here to kind of get the attention of the early church. If you look at verse 1 there, we didn't read it, but at the end you see this word called safeguard. So important, safeguard. Paul is referencing this term in a way that the believers and even us today, he's saying, you can trust what I say. You can trust me. It's truth. Because in that day, it wasn't always truth that they heard. They'd hear all kinds of different theology and doctrine. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? But Paul's saying, trust me. I'm a safeguard, the words that I'm speaking. And he's even using it as, you've heard this before. Sometimes we need to hear it more than once to get it, right? Sometimes truth doesn't always strike the first time. But if you hear it over and over, and if it's consistent, right? That's the big thing about truth. It's consistent. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm a safeguard. What I say, it's a safeguard. The Greek word really means to confirm the truth. That's what it means in the Greek. And then he goes on, and I hope you highlighted this in your Bible, the cross of Christ. Guys, this is the whole theme of today's message. Many times we begin to think of Christ in a way, like the early church, where we just take him out of the picture completely. But he's very clear here in the text that he's using the cross of Christ. Not just Christ, not just the cross of Christ. You can't get Christ without the cross. The same way is true today. You can't just say, I'm going to go pray a prayer and forget the cross completely. Because the cross has meaning for you if you're a believer here today. If you have your notes, the outline there, here's our first point of today's message. Our flesh is not righteous. Very important for us to identify this in our life today. That flesh, the fleshly desires of this world are not righteous. And honestly, if you're a believer today, you should run from those things. You should, if you see them coming, you should be afraid of what those things will do to you and your life. It's not that we're afraid that God can't do things in our life and that God hasn't already done things. But you and I know how far sin can take us. You and I both know the times that we said, I never will do that. You'll never see me there. And how many times we find ourselves not only in that place, but maybe even further than we ever would have imagined in our life. It's really the atonement. The reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ, that's the truth today that we're talking about, and that's what he's opening up with to the believers today. Don't forget this truth. You say, Quinn, how can this even be possible? How can someone call themselves a Christian and forget Christ? Like, this can't be possible. This is a joke. And it really kind of scares me sometimes. You know, it might even be my own life. How many times I'm proclaiming, I'm a Christian, but my life says nothing of it. And I hope we're reminded today as believers, we need to be reminded today of the atonement of Christ and the righteousness that comes from him. That it's only through him that we can find a true belief in God and an understanding of what God has done for us. It's really this understanding of this fleshly desire and the spiritual battle that's going on. That many times the fleshly things of this world are way easier to run to than the spiritual things that God calls us to. And God has called us all into a place of righteousness if we've accepted his son, Jesus Christ. Many of us search for righteousness in other places, but we find out very quickly that it can't be found there. Only righteousness can come from a righteous God. Only God can give that. And I wonder if you need to be reminded today. He also uses in the text enemies, this word enemies. It holds the word hate. I mean, if you have an enemy, the word hate surely follows. And so he's using this term as there are people going against the gospel of Christ. These aren't just sinners. They're intentionally going against the gospel of Christ. We don't know exactly what that truly means, you know, if they've fully understood what the gospel of Christ really meant for them or not. But he is using that word in that context. Matthew 16, 28 says this, and this is what we need to grab a hold of today. He says this, Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The truth is, the only way that you're going to get righteousness is to give up your life. The only way that you're going to gain true life is to say, my life is worthless, meaningless without Jesus Christ in my life. It's only Jesus that does anything. And so I want to remind you as we kind of finish this point up, is it possible to deny the cross of Christ even if we've accepted Christ? And I want to stand here before you today and say, don't forget the cross. Because the cross has great meaning for you today if you're a believer. I have this shirt. I love this shirt. And please stay with me as I say it, because at first I didn't think I'd like the shirt, but it kind of stuck with me. I picked it up at Winter Jam one year with the kids. It says, it's not about religion. Stay with me. I've been forgiven. Because sometimes we make it so much about the religion that we're in. And yes, it's religion. Christianity is religion. But we forget the central point of what brought us there. And it's all around the fact that Christ has died for us and we've been forgiven. And that's the truth that we need to hold on today. The question I have for you today, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. It's not in your notes. How can we have confidence always? Paul is standing at a place where many would say self-esteem would not be high. We talked about this in the first chapter. Joy would not be on the top priority list, right? It almost, like I said, Job would be a book that we'd say, what? Joyous? That doesn't make sense. But here we see Paul having great confidence in a time that many would say I could not even begin to imagine confidence. And so we see in the next passage here where we're going. Verse 3, if you have your Bibles. We who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. That's so important, believer. Listen to that today. Stop putting confidence in things you shouldn't put confidence in. Verse 4. Though I myself have reason for such confidence. Hear what Paul's saying here. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Think of Paul's life. We talked about it. His past life, he chased plenty of selfish desires. Plenty of things of what Paul wanted to do. And he's saying, if that was what we should boast about, I should have plenty to boast about, shouldn't I? But Paul says, that's not what we boast in. And he goes on in verse 8, you might skip down there with me. In verse 8, like verses together. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Man, if you have a highlighter or a pen, you better circle verse 9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that can come from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ. Underline that part of the scripture there. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. If there's a John 3:16 verse in our passage today, verse 9 is it. That's the theme of our passage today. That through faith in Jesus Christ, Christian, it's not what you do today. It's not what you're going to do today. It's not what you did in your past today. It's through faith in Jesus Christ that brings you to a righteousness that can only come from God. And really all righteousness is being put back in a right standard. Being brought back to the place that you belong all together. But you and I could never do what Christ did. And I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I get caught up in that. I remind myself of the times I messed up. And I remind myself, am I doing enough for God, right? Do I do enough for God? Like, have I done enough works for God? And I want to remind you, that's what the early church was trying to preach. Hey, do all these things. And I shared my story with you at 8 years old. I won't share it again. But when I went forward at 8 years old and accepted Jesus Christ, it wasn't the altar that saved me. That pastor up there, even though he was a holy man, he didn't save me. It was Jesus Christ who met me there. And I accepted through faith in Him in my heart. He's the one that saved me. And so I wonder if you need to be reminded today that it's your faith in Christ that makes you righteous. It's the only way that we can come before the Father. I was on a mission trip this past week, and it gave me so much joy. There was a mother that was on the trip with us, and she had a phone call. We're in the van, and she kind of leaned back, and she said, guess what? And I said, what? She said, my son just accepted Christ at camp. And I was reminded in that moment, even as a pastor, how much joy it really is to hear of a loved one, hear of someone you really care about, come to know Jesus Christ. And it began to convict me a little bit. Are we doing enough? And it's not to do enough, right? Are we doing enough? Have we elevated the cross enough to say, this is important? You know, all the things we chase after in this life, the fleshly things that Paul is warning us against, have we put those in a higher place than the cross? And I was reminded, I need to do more. Not because He demands it of me. Not because of that's how I get my faith or belief. But because of what Christ has done for me. Verse 10, if you have your Bibles. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection. If you have a pen or a highlighter, underline power of His resurrection. and the participation in suffering, in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. What a powerful statement. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained all of this, he hasn't got there yet, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ takes hold of me. I was listening to a song this week that completely wrecked me. It's by Bethel Music, and it simply says, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." That's the main verse of it. And it's got this amazing deep beat. I mean, I love it. And the whole theme of the song, and Johnny Cash actually wrote a song like that too. I don't know if you guys remember that. "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." Some of you guys are like, "Yeah, I remember that." Some of you have no idea. But Bethel Music kind of did a rendition of it, and it was a beautiful song. And really what it is this picture of the time when Christ will return. Of all the believers that have believed in him and put their faith in him and have found themselves righteous in God's eyes because of Christ and Christ alone, that one day the graves will split open and they'll fly out of there because there was nothing holding them in because Christ had died for their life. I wonder here today, can you see that picture? Can you imagine with me how that must look and how that must feel? Because I want to remind all the believers today, we all have a central location now, but we have the same destination if you're a believer today. All of us are going to, hopefully, if you are a believer today, you will find yourself in the same location when Christ returns. I wonder today, how many would say they truly know Jesus? You know, it's one thing to say, "I know about so-and-so. I've heard about so-and-so." But how many of us can say we truly know Christ? Would you pick him out of a crowd? Would you know his voice because you've heard it? Would you miss him because you've spent 2 or 3 days without him? Would you go looking and asking and seeking? Because all that revolves around your life is knowing him and seeking him. And the truth is, and I had you underline it in your verse there, the power of his resurrection, we cannot truly know Jesus. Please hear me here. We cannot truly know Jesus without the power and understanding of the power of his resurrection. You can't separate Jesus from the cross. It's impossible. Because Jesus is what made the cross. And then the resurrection of his body on the third day is what makes you and I whole. I think I gave it to you, but if I didn't, I'm sorry. Your second point on your notes there is this: Jesus makes you righteous. Your flesh is not righteous. Jesus makes you righteous. And our final point, go ahead and fill it in while you have your pens there. Righteousness is what takes us home. Righteousness is what takes us home. Verse 13, if you have your Bibles. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." As we move on down the passage in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ," verse 21, "who by the power that enables him," man, that's a beautiful picture, "by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." In this passage of Scripture, we see this kind of statement being used of citizenship. And in that day and age, being a citizen of a certain country or a certain area was a big deal. The Church of Philippi was really under the ranks of Rome. And so the laws that they set before, they had to follow, right? And even in the United States today, there's laws that are set before us by our forefathers that we have to abide to. But I want to remind you today, the citizenship that he's talking about is a little different. He's saying you're not citizens of this world. You're citizens of heaven. And so really what he's saying is you're a foreigner. Like, the place that you live in, the home you live in, is not your home. The car you drive is not your car, right? The place that you find yourself in right now, you're a foreigner. And even the word alien, which is kind of weird to even say, right, in the sermon, but the word alien applies here, and it's used in Scripture. You're an alien. Yeah, there's aliens. Oh, don't quote me on that. You're an alien. You're a foreigner. This isn't your home. And here's the whole point. Why is he using that? You shouldn't look like this place. This is not your homeland. This is not the place that God has for you. Remember righteousness? Christ brought you back to the Father. He's made a place and a way for you with citizenship. You share in honors in heaven because of Christ. Like, he's got that place, that mansion waiting for you. That's your home. And so what do? In a foreign land, we prepare. We prepare. We tell everyone we can. Hey, you better get on this ship. I mean, you better get on this. This is good stuff. And even if we didn't get heaven, it would be worth it. But we get it. And it's like winning a prize. You saw how he used that text in there. He goes after the prize. Guys, it's okay to get something, right? It's okay that we're rewarded for following Christ because he knows it's not going to be easy on this side of heaven. He knows it. He knows you're going to face persecution. He knows people are going to say, look at that weirdo. Like, look at them. What are they doing? Because you're not going to look like them. And if you're a young person today, I challenge you in a big way. Don't look like the world. Don't look like them. The less you look like the world, the better you're going to be for Christ. And I promise you this, if that's your gauge, you're probably doing pretty good if you don't look anything like the world. It seems like that's the only place this world knows to run is away from God. And I wonder today if you're a believer, if you need to be reminded of that. Are you doing worldly things? Are you reminded today that you're a citizen of heaven? And I put on my notes in bold letters so I wouldn't miss it. Conduct must match your citizenship. Conduct yourselves in a way that you know you're citizens of heaven. Carry yourselves in a way. Talk in a way. Don't do things that you know you shouldn't do because you know that there's a day where Christ will call you home. I gave you our last point. Righteousness is what takes us home. The only way that one day me and you get to experience heaven in all of its glory and majesty is because of Jesus Christ on the cross and his righteousness that was given to us. As I close, I was reminded of this. This past week, I was on a mission trip for 8 days, and I got back, and I had my sermon basically completed. But I asked my wife, I said, would it be okay? Right, we have a son. Some of you guys don't know that, but we have an 8-month-old son. And so for 8 days, she was watching our son. So I got back, and I said, babe, I just need a little bit more time. I just feel like I need a little bit more time to kind of walk through what God has for Sunday. So she let me go on a 2-day retreat. To a cabin that my grandfather built in the woods. And so I went out to this cabin. I was working through the text. And in that cabin, it was like God just gave me a song. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that place where you're just filled with the Spirit and God reminds you of a song that you heard. And that's exactly what he did. I was getting done with the sermon. It was so focused on Christ. And maybe you felt that in the sermon today. It's so focused on Christ. And he reminded me of this song called Jesus at the Center of It All. And the whole song is about Christ, about everything that we do, everything that we look at, everywhere we go. It all comes back to him. And I remember in that little bitty cabin my grandfather built, putting on my phone that song of Jesus at the Center of It All. And I remember just standing there in his presence thinking, God, thank you. And I wonder today if there's a believer who needs to know that Jesus is at the center of it all. That no matter how much you've accomplished in this life, which might be a lot, might be more than most people will accomplish in their whole lifetime, maybe you just need to know today it's not about that. It's about Jesus at the center of it all. Or maybe you're here today and your family's not quite looking the way that you thought they should look. Maybe you've tried everything that you know to do. And God is trying to remind you, Jesus is at the center of it all. How do we have confidence always? We put Jesus at the center. That's how Paul found it. Paul realized that confidence did not come in what he did or was going to do. Confidence came in who he already was. It's not about what you do today, believer. It's about who you are in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. I thank you so much for your word. God, I'm so thankful it's life-giving. God, this life is tough, and it pulls from each different way. And maybe there's a believer here today, and they know this truth, God. They accepted this truth that Jesus is righteousness, and the only way that we can come before your feet is through him. But God, maybe the pressures of life, they need to be reminded today. It's going to be okay, because Jesus is at the center of it all. And my prayer is that they have made Jesus the center of their life. And they would find peace and joy and a future. God, if there's a body in this room who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, my prayer is that they would not leave this place without receiving your Son over their life. The blood still forgives, and I'm so thankful for that today. Maybe there's a believer here today, and they have struggled. They've walked away a little bit. They're not quite sure how to get back, and you're reminding them today, it's Jesus at the center. I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here with you. Remind that believer today, they haven't done too much. Their past does not define them, and you call them back home. God, through the preaching of your word, would you be glorified? In Jesus' name we ask this.